All right, Philippians 4 and verse 9.
We already read this as a part of the scripture reading, but that verse says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I want you to notice that last phrase in verse 9, "the God of peace shall be with you." In these days that we're in, we need the God of peace to be with us. And it's interesting that in a couple of different places in the New Testament, God is referred to as the God of peace. And we need that in these days that we're living in. As we look around, as we watch society crumble around us, we need the peace of God. And so in this passage of Scripture, not just verse number 9, but the previous verses, which we've already read, I believe that there are some commands that we are given in Scripture that are often forgotten commands, but if we follow them, they will lead us to peace. And so I want to share with you, share with you those forgotten commands, and that's the title of the message, Forgotten Commands. The first one is found again in a previous verse, and it's in verse number 4, and that is, "Rejoice in the Lord." Notice what it says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." And friends, I want you to notice again, this is a command, just like the others that we're going to look at tonight are commands. They're not suggestions or ways that you can take or leave to improve your life. Rather, they are commands that are given to you by God. So friends, if it is a command that God has given you and you and I refuse to do it, what is that called? Disobedience, sin, exactly. It is exactly that. So friends, when we don't rejoice in the Lord, then it is sin. And I want you to understand, I want me to understand tonight that in 2021, in the midst of all that we look at as we look around in our society, God's command is still applicable to you and me today that we are to rejoice in the Lord. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Keep your place in Philippians 4 because we'll be back there. And we are going to look at some scriptures tonight, so be ready to turn in your Bibles. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I want you to see one small verse that will help us, or a couple of verses, I should say, that will help us to see this again. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, "Rejoice evermore." Very similar to what it says in Philippians 4. Then it says, "Pray without ceasing." Then notice verse 18, which is similar to verse 16. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What stands out to me in that last verse is, this is the will of God. It's God's will that you and I would give thanks in everything, which is, again, related to rejoicing in everything. Whatever you're facing, whatever we're looking at, God wants us to give thanks for it. Why? Because that's God's will. Yes, it's God's will, whatever situation you're in, but friends, also, it's God's will that you would rejoice in the middle of a difficult time. It's God's will. The reason I keep emphasizing that, friends, is, shouldn't that move our hearts? If God wants something, if it's His will, shouldn't that be something that catches our attention, that causes a red flag to go up in our minds that says, this is something I ought to obey, I ought to do it, because it's not just that God prefers it or, you know, it'd be nice if we do it. No, it's the will of God. This is what He wants from you and me. And when we don't rejoice in the Lord, when we fail to give thanks in everything, we're disappointing our Heavenly Father. And that ought to break our hearts. That ought to cause us to weep when we don't do what God wants for us. And then remember, as we think back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. If you were to ask me tonight, Pastor, how can I rejoice in the midst of everything? I would remind you that the reason you can is in the Lord. You have something that most people in this world don't have that causes you to be able to rejoice in the midst of everything. Now, look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter number 10. Luke 10, and we want to look at verse 20. You remember in Luke 10, as we were back there, oh, it's probably over a year ago now, that we were in Luke chapter number 10, and we, on Sunday mornings, we looked at this verse when the disciples were given power over unclean spirits, you remember that? And they were sent out to preach, and they came back rejoicing that they had this great power that the Lord Jesus had given them. Look at in Luke 10 and verse 20. Notice how Jesus responds to them. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, you and I can rejoice in the Lord because our name is written in heaven. The truth of the matter is, this power that was given to them to tread on serpents and scorpions, friends, that's not always applicable to you and me. Now, again, I'm not telling you that God doesn't work miracles today. He does. But what I'm telling you is this, we don't necessarily always have an opportunity to see that miracle take place. In other words, if I go out and I'm serving the Lord today in the deepest, darkest jungles of wherever, and there are poisonous snakes, if I get bitten by one, there's no guarantee that God is going to allow that I'll be healed and I won't fall over and die. I might live, I might not. It might be a miraculous situation, like what happened to the Apostle Paul, where the viper latched onto him and he threw it back into the fire and nothing happened. Or it might be that I die. Sometimes God's servants die serving the Lord. So I can't necessarily rejoice in that, boy, I can go out and I can do anything, and no matter what happens, it doesn't matter what comes my way, I will never be defeated. Well, that's obviously not true. But I can rejoice in this, that my name's written in heaven. That is one thing that will never change. That means that no matter what happens in this next election, that means that no matter what happens with the virus, that means no matter what happens in your job situation or your family situation, you name it, you can rejoice in the one thing that does not change, that your name is written in heaven. And you should rejoice in that. Because that is coming very, very soon. What we have right here is not the reality that we think it is. And I'm not trying to preach some weird doctrine. What I'm trying to get you the idea or get you to understand is this. When we get to heaven, we'll look back on all this and it will seem like something that was not even real. It will be a vapor of time and we'll be enjoying all of eternity. And I believe that we'll look back on this time and say, why was I so invested in the things of this world when this was just a vapor of time that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, and I was so concerned about it, I should have been rejoicing that my name was written in heaven and eternity was right around the corner. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 5. Still talking about the fact that we are to rejoice in the Lord. Again, these are forgotten commands. And in these days, we need to remember these forgotten commands because they will help lead us to peace and give us peace. Psalm 5, look with me at verse number 11. Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Why should I rejoice? Because God is on my side. And if anything happens to me, it is something that God has allowed to happen to me. And if God has allowed it to happen to me, friends, it's okay. I can remember Abigail one time when she was very, very little. I would say she was probably 3, would be my guess. I think that's about right. We were she was 3, and we were in Mexico at the time. And it was time, speaking of vaccinations, since that's the popular thing, the popular topic these days, not talking about COVID, this was pre-COVID, but it was time for her to get vaccinated for just the usual things that little kids get vaccinated for. And we took her to a clinic and they were gonna vaccinate her and she flipped out. She was normally a pretty good kid, but for whatever reason, she flipped out. And even I, which usually she would be able to be handled pretty well with dad. If mom couldn't control her, dad usually could. You know how that is with kids. But for whatever reason in this situation, she would not be controlled even with dad. And it was embarrassing, and it was terrible, and she still got the shots. But here's the interesting thing. I wanted her to understand, okay, yeah, there's a little bit of pain involved with this, but it'll only last a moment. You will get through it, and this is what's best for you. And I'm your dad. I'm allowing this to happen to you because I know what's best for you. And I know, again, it's not that I would say it's not painful. No, it does hurt. But the pain will only last for a little bit of time. And in the end, you'll be glad you did it. You know, that's much the way that I look at things with God many times. I flip out over things when God, as my Heavenly Father, would look at me and say, I know it'll hurt, but it'll only be for a little time. And I've willed this in your life. There's something that I have in this. I know what's best for you, and I will defend you. I'm not going to allow anything bad to happen to you. I will work on your behalf. And yet many times I fail to rejoice in the Lord. Instead, I'm like that three-year-old little girl flipping out in the middle of a clinic in Mexico. Isn't that sad that that's how little I trust my Lord? And sometimes we are just like that little kid who cannot trust their father, and we should trust our Heavenly Father. Look with me at Zephaniah chapter number 3. You didn't know it was going to be such a difficult night that you'd have to turn to Zephaniah. Some of you didn't even know that was a book in the Bible. Zephaniah 3 and verse 14. I'm kidding. You all knew that was a book in the Bible. Zephaniah 3 and verse 14. The Bible tells us there, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now, I understand and you understand that that was a prophetic set of verses there about the nation of Israel, that when, as Paul talked about in Romans, when all Israel shall be saved, that will be fulfilled. When God will dwell in the midst of Israel and the nation as a whole will accept her Messiah. It's certainly a wonderful prophetic set of verses about that. But friends, that same truth that was prophesied to Israel in that day is true of you and me right now. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He is in the midst of us right now. In fact, the Word of God says when we gather together in his name that he would be in the midst of us. Not only that, but he dwells within me. So if God was telling the nation of Israel through a prophetic message from Zephaniah that when I am in the midst of you, you will be able to rejoice, then shouldn't you and I be able to say the same thing? We can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he's in the midst of us. Even in all that we are facing. And we're facing some strange days. We don't know what the future holds. But we do know that our Savior is in the midst of us. So we should rejoice in the Lord. And then just notice, go back to Philippians chapter 4, and notice the longevity of this command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That word always is another form of saying always. In other words, forever and ever and ever. In everything that you face, rejoice in the Lord. There's never a time in your life where you are not supposed to rejoice in the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul could say that with authority, number one, because the Holy Spirit was leading him. But number two, because he lived it. Look in the same chapter of Philippians 4, in verse number 11, where he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul had some experience that gave him authority to make such a command to rejoice in the Lord always. He had learned in whatsoever state he was to be content. And he said, how can I do this? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Friends, you too can rejoice in the Lord always. Don't let Satan tell you, well, you can't do that. Somebody else can, but not you. I mean, the pastor just doesn't know what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, or which strengthens you. Friends, you can rejoice in the Lord. That's a forgotten command. There's a second one in the same passage here. Now, Philippians 4, look at verse 5. The second of these forgotten commands is, let your moderation be known. Notice in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's the second command. Let your moderation be known. Now, the term moderation is defined by Webster as calmness of mind, equanimity, there's a word you don't use every day, as to bear prosperity or adversity with moderation. Moderation, as I've explained to you before, is a lack of fluctuation in your feelings. This world rides roller coasters, don't they? They're really, really doing good when the Packers win on Sunday Night Football and win with a last-minute field goal. But if the 49ers had won, then they're depressed. In New Zealand, it's so bad with their rugby team, the All Blacks, as they're called, that when they lose on a Sunday, Monday, it is known for a fact that a great percentage of the men will not show up to work the next day because they're so depressed. That's pretty sad. But listen, that's the world, because that's all they got. You ever noticed when the world talks about having a good time, the only thing they can do is drink? You ever notice that? It's always about, you know, alcohol of some kind. And in order to have a good time, we got to have beer there. That's pretty sad. That's a sad existence. Why? Because that alcohol, or in some cases drugs, right, allow you to take the edge off and you can just ride that high all the way up. And then later on, it comes to a real low. God's people should never be that way. Even if you go beyond drugs and alcohol and the licentious lifestyle of this world, you look out there in the world and at election time, if my group wins, then boy, I'm riding high. If the bills that I like get passed, or if the, you know, judges in the Supreme Court rule in my favor, then I'm way up here. And if they rule the other way, or if my guy loses in the election, then I'm way down. That's the world. God's people should not be that way. We should be moderate in all things. That's moderation. And friends, this is a command. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Don't be up and down. Don't fluctuate. Don't be sad overly so when things don't go your way. Look at Deuteronomy, if you would. Chapter number 4, Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, we want to look at verse number 1. And actually, we'll skip down a little bit. We'll start with verse 6. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6. Now, verse 5, Moses is telling the children of Israel that he has given them the statutes and judgments that the Lord their God had commanded them. Verse 6, he says, keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Do you see what Moses was telling the children of Israel through God's leading? He was telling them, I've given you these commandments, and one of the reasons you're to do these commandments is so that the other nations of the world will look and say, that is a great people, look at their life. Now, God has you and me living in this world, and he wants our moderation to be known unto all men so that everybody can look at you and me and say, why are they able to go through life rejoicing in the Lord and not depressed when everyone else is? That's the way you and I are to be. That's the way God has called us to live. It is God's plan to use our life to exalt his name. Because of this, our moderation should not just be internal. It should be external so that everybody can see it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Live it out. Let everybody know that you have peace. Let everybody know that things are going great for you. Don't be phony. Don't be fake. But at the same time, let people know, hey, I'm a Christian. Things are great for me. I'm on my way to heaven. Doesn't matter who gets elected. I'm on my way to heaven. Doesn't matter what my football team does. I'm on my way to heaven. Doesn't matter what my health is like. I'm on my way to heaven. Our moderation should be known unto all men. There is a reality in this life that when we realize it, will cause us to be moderate. Look at Philippians chapter 4. We want to go back there. These verses here, or verse 5, gives us a reason, a motivation for our moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Why should you and I be moderate? Because the Lord is at hand. Listen, it's not going to be long, and we will be with the Lord. It's a reality. It's coming. We know it in our mind. We look around at the things going on around us in society, and we say, the Lord's coming back soon, but deep down, we struggle to believe that, but it's true. And because of that, our life ought to be different. We can't get involved in the things of this world. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Philippians 4 then gives us another command, a third command. The first one was rejoice in the Lord. The second was let your moderation be known. The third is verses 6 and 7. Let's read those verses. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've titled this one, and it's not original with me, but I've titled it, Turn Your Care into Prayer. That's the next command. Turn your care into prayer. That's why it says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about anything. Let me ask you, are you full of care? On the average day, are you full of care? Recently, I found myself being full of care. It's something that I've just been struggling with recently. Has nothing to do with the church, has everything to do with what's going on in our society. Looking around, paying attention to what's going on has filled my mind and my heart with a lot of care. It has been depressing for me to see our country go down the tubes and our freedoms flush down the toilet as if they never really existed. And to hear people talk in our society even about things like your personal freedoms don't matter, it's more about the collective society. Well, first of all, no, it's not. That's not how our country was founded. But second of all, that's filled my heart with care, not just for me, but for my children. I found myself, when I wake up in the middle of the night, which isn't often, but I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe go to use the restroom or something like that, that I have a sense of darkness or foreboding in my heart. And that's not normal for me. That's being full of care, and it's disobedience to the Lord. What I need to do, and friends, if you're like me, what you need to do is turn your care into prayer. Be careful for nothing. Notice how we can turn our care into prayer. It says, let your requests be made known unto God. But before that, it says in three different ways. Number one, by prayer. All right? Now, the word prayer means to ask a favor. So if you and I are going to turn our care into prayer, first of all, ask God for what you want. Ask Him for a favor. That's the idea of prayer. But it doesn't stop by prayer. It says by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a little stronger than just prayer. It means to entreat, to beseech, to implore, to petition with earnestness. Listen, and submission. And submission. By prayer and supplication. What I need to do, what you need to do, is take that care to the Lord and ask Him, what do we want to ask Him for? What is it that we want changed in our society? What is it that we want? And I'll be honest with you, here's what I ask as I pray. I prayed this morning for our nation. I'm just honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I know that we as a nation deserve every bit of judgment we get. The president we have is the one we deserve. The debacle we've seen with Afghanistan, God, we deserve it. The fact that we gave how many billion dollars worth of equipment to our enemies, God, we deserve that. We as a nation are so full of sin, we kill millions of babies. We celebrate all kinds of alternative lifestyles that fly in the face of what you said in your word life was like. God, we celebrate wickedness, and on Sunday, churches are empty and football stadiums are filled. God, we deserve your wrath. But God, I'd sure like you to have mercy. And I'll be honest with you, I've prayed and said, Lord, I don't want mercy for our nation so that we can continue to go in sin. I don't want babies to continue to be aborted. I don't want people to continue to be on the golf course rather than in church. I don't want homosexuality and alternative lifestyles to continue to be promoted to our children as if that's what's right. God, I want you to bring us revival and mercy. And I just lay that out before the Lord. Now, with that, I have to also give submission. So part of supplication is, God, at the same time, I understand that your ways are not my ways. But Lord, that's what I'm asking for. Turning care into prayer. But it doesn't just say by prayer and supplication, it says with thanksgiving. That's that third part. And friends, it is important. With thanksgiving. Doesn't mean with turkey and stuffing. Although that does sound good, pumpkin pie is right around the corner, and I'm excited about that. But it has nothing to do with the food on your table on the fourth Thursday in November. It has everything to do with an attitude of the heart. It's, dear God, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, as many of you mentioned in prayer time, thank you that you do hear and answer prayer. And as I read this morning in my Bible reading, if you follow the Bible reading plan like I do, or maybe it was yesterday, where in Isaiah, God mentioned the fact through Isaiah that before the judgment came, God was taking the righteous out so that they would not see the wrath that was to come. And it reminded me again that God always does that for his people. It's not that we won't see bad times. It's not that we won't see persecution. Christians have for millennia. But there's a good chance that before judgment really falls, God will somehow spare us from that. And I don't know how, but I just trust God to care for us in those days to come. And I can give God thanks for those things. Thanks for his promises. I can turn my care into prayer by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. And then, of course, it says, then the peace of God will keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. There is a peace of God that is promised when I turn my care into prayer. But it's not promised just because I'm a Christian. I've got to go to the Lord with those things. Let me give you the last promise. We just got a couple of minutes, or I'm sorry, the last command. We have just a couple of minutes, and it's in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're talking about forgotten commands, and we've seen that we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. We've seen that we are commanded to let our moderation be known. We've seen that we are to turn our care into prayer. But lastly, we are to practice purposeful thinking. We are to practice purposeful thinking. In other words, choose what you're going to think about. It says in verse number 8, it gives you a list of things that you are to think on. Now, I'm not going to go through the list. That's a message in and of itself. But those things that are good, those things that are lovely, those things that are of good report, those things, think on those things. In these days that we're in, you and I need to practice on purpose to put our minds on the right things. And friends, I'll be honest with you, I've got my cell phone over there. That cell phone is one of the worst things that ever happened to me. And I imagine it's probably one of the worst things that ever happened to you. Now, they're a blessing in a lot of ways. I like being able to get a hold of my kids when they're at work and my wife, et cetera, et cetera. I like for it to think for me. But one of the things that it's done for me is it has put information in my pocket at all times. And what is that information usually, good or bad? As far as news, it's usually bad, isn't it? It's usually depressing. Every vile and horrible thing going on in the world, that information is at my fingertips. And it's not in the interest of the news organizations, whether conservative or liberal or whatever, to give me the news that is good and lovely and right and pure. They don't very often quote Bible verses and remind me of the miracles of God. Even Fox News doesn't do that. So one of the things that it has happened to me is it's so easy when I have a moment to pull that up and just see what's going on in the world. And guess what I'm doing? I'm thinking on bad things, bad things, bad things, bad things, bad things. And I put it aside and I'm troubled and I'm full of care. And I go about my business, and when I have a couple more minutes, my habit is pull out my phone and think on bad things, think on bad things, think on bad things. That's a direct disobedience to Scripture. And again, not that we shouldn't pay attention to what's going on in the world. I think we should, and we should know what's coming. But we have to balance that with thinking almost all the time on those things that are right. And even when I do pull up the news, in the back of my mind, I need to keep this in my mind when I'm looking at what's going on in the world. What does God say about it? What is God going to do about this? What comfort can I take from the Scriptures about it? I've got to think on good things. I've got to practice purposeful thinking. And so I want to encourage you, and I know I do that fairly often, but I want to encourage you tonight from Scripture that these are four commands that are often forgotten, but in these days are very important for you and for me. And God will help us if we will do it. Now, we're talking about where it says, think on these things. Notice what it says in Ephesians. One book over, Ephesians 4. We're going to look at two scriptures and then we'll close. Ephesians 4, and we'll look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a passage of Scripture that teaches us, mostly talking about lasciviousness and those kind of things that we're to put them off. But part of that is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind needs to change. It needs to think differently. And that will not happen accidentally. That will only happen on purpose. And that's why I titled that command, Practice Purposeful Thinking. On purpose, think biblically. On the Bible. Get into the book. Meditate on it. Study it. Learn about it. Do that on purpose. Renew the spirit of your mind so that you think biblically. And here's what you'll find. You'll find your spirit will be lifted. You'll find you'll have joy, moderation, when others are up and down, depressed and then feeling excited, etc., etc., because you're able to think biblically. One of the ways, just a small way that it'll do it, is you'll be able to look in the future and say, hey, we're almost to heaven. We'll be there soon. One last scripture, Isaiah 26. This one will be very quick. Isaiah 26. Famous last words of a preacher. This will be quick. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, notice, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's purposeful thinking. That's thinking on right things, godly things, biblical things, staying your mind on him, keeping your mind focused on him. Why? Because that person is trusting in the Lord. And when we do that, God will keep us in perfect peace. You need that in these days. I need that in these days. I will try to pray for you on that. Please pray for me on that, that my heart and my mind would be stayed on Jehovah God. Let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet at this time, if you would, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. It is a blessing tonight to have one of our missionaries, Brother Kowak, with us and his family, as well as his mom. Blessing to have them with us. I'm going to ask him to close us in a word of prayer. And then once Brother Nathan is done praying, then you are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great evening. We'll see you on Sunday, if not before. Brother Kowak.